Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Week in Philly. Listen at 5 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturday and 3 p.m. on Sunday on KYW News Radio 103.9 FM and free on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Welcome back to The Week in Philly. So we talked about the cold and snow in our last segment. Now let's talk about some of the ramifications from that weather we saw this week as we bring in KYW's Mike DiNardo. And Mike, the snow meant a day off for students in the Philadelphia School District and a lot of other school districts in the area on Monday.
Yeah, but if we get more snow, Matt, the Philadelphia school buildings may be closed, but students and staff will have a virtual day learning on their laptops and Chromebooks just like they did during the pandemic. The state requires 180 days of instruction. This year, the district built in an extra day in its calendar, and that was used on Monday as a snow day. Superintendent Tony Watlington said it was an opportunity for families to make memories and for kids to experience the joy and wonder of winter. But with no more snow days built into the calendar and the ability to hold virtual classes, Watlington says any more bad weather days, Matt, will be remote learning days.
And this is really kind of an outshoot of the pandemic, because I think the pandemic led everybody to learn you could do this. It's not ideal, but that probably killed one of the great moments of childhood in the snow day.
Although he did allow for this one, part of the central purpose of the district, he said, is to help kids to have joy, to find joy. So having a day off to play in the snow checks that box.
Hi, Samantha. Do you like the snow?
Yeah.
Is it cold or hot?
Cold.
She knocked out a few times with her older brother, but then she opted to just eat the snow instead.
The weather also led to some problems for SEPTA early in the week. What happened there?
Well, there were delays on many regional rail lines Monday night and Tuesday morning because of the weather affecting signals and switches. You know, when we get snow and ice, it can keep the switches from moving properly. They have moving parts and they can freeze. The cold can also affect electrical signals on those lines, and that's what happened during and after the snowstorm. And there were delays of up to 20 minutes as a result. Now, SEPTA does have heaters on those switches, and maintenance crews do have de-icing materials that they can apply. But, you know, it only takes one bad switch, especially at a junction where several lines intersect, to ruin your commute.
If a switch does go down, it's going to cause delays. There are switches at junctions that can impact multiple lines. And, of course, on regional rail, if you, if we have a prolonged delay on one line, that can easily cascade onto the other lines because the system is so interconnected.
Now, the cold isn't going anywhere, so could this be an ongoing problem, something we keep an eye out for?
Sure thing. SEPTA, as I said, tries to maintain those heaters, and they do things like running test trains and trolleys and extra pilot trains overnight to keep ice from accumulating on overhead wires. And SEPTA crews also have to watch for tree limbs that get covered in ice and could fall onto wires or tracks. But yes, as long as there is cold weather, it's something that SEPTA has to stay on top of.
And I guess there's only so much you can prepare for beforehand. Stuff is going to happen. Stuff's going to fall on tracks. It's just a fact of life, huh?
Yeah, it's especially in a big urban area where you have many lines coming together. If there's a delay on one line, a train can't move, it could affect another line, and things cascade from there.
And as long as we have you here, and let's stick with transportation, last weekend we saw the Pennsylvania Turnpike launch a new way to collect tolls. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Turnpike moved to something called open road tolling. You may have seen this on toll roads in other states. Now it's on the Turnpike.
Customers will be charged at the gantries and not the toll booths. And then we will start to remove the toll booths in 2025.
You don't pay at the toll plaza, and you're not charged as you enter or exit the highway. Your Easy Pass is charged as you drive under an overhead gantry that supports sensor devices.
The tolling equipment on the gantry and in the roadway, it classifies and identifies the vehicle and that electronically processes the tolls.
This is happening on the Turnpike east of Reading and on the Northeast Extension. And Matt, those toll plazas are going to be torn down later this year.
That is fascinating to me because I actually, before they actually went into effect, I had driven on the Turnpike and I was in a rental car, so I had my Easy Pass, but it wasn't on the thing. And it was so incredibly annoying to have to keep remembering to put it up to the windshield every time you come up to one of them. Do we know what happens if you miss one?
Yeah, actually, you get charged twice as much. They do have a toll by plate system. Those same digital sensors will read your license plate and send a bill to your house. But the rate of the toll is twice as high as if you had just held up your Easy Pass, which the Turnpike Commission urges you not to do because they don't want people driving with one hand and being unsafe when and rushing whenever they see a gantry overhead. So don't do that, Matt.
Well, but the rental car place charge me even more for the toll. So I feel like I'm getting squeezed from both ends here, Mike. And in addition to all that, a toll hike went into effect last weekend, correct?
Yeah, it was the annual 5% increase. This is something that has happened every year since 2009. And you might say, what, do the Turnpike's expenses keep going up 5% every year? The answer is no. The Turnpike years ago was required by the state to provide PennDOT with millions to fund public transit systems like SEPTA. The Turnpike borrowed money to do that, and it's locked into paying that money back. So these annual toll hikes are how the Turnpike does that. Matt, they'll be making those payments every year, at least until the year 2051.
Thank you very much, Mike. KYW's Mike DiNardo joining us, and we will have more of The Week in Philly coming up in just a minute. Stay with us.
Check out The Week in Philly, Saturdays at 5 a.m., Saturdays and Sundays from 3 to 4 p.m. on KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM, or free on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers, there's nothing quite like the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid when it comes to exhilarating efficiency. With hybrid technology and thrilling capability, these vehicles deliver an electrifying performance on every drive. Redefine your driving experience with Honda. Contact your local Honda dealer today about the Honda Accord Hybrid and the CR-V Hybrid.